RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Headlines, Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. The Indonesian Embassy in Malaysia will hold a competition of science and art for Indonesian students in the country. Ministry of Education and Culture facilitates Indonesian film at Venice Film Festival. Bank Indonesia restricts dollar purchases to save rupiah. Now the news in detail. Education Attaché of Indonesian Embassy in Malaysia will hold a competency test for Indonesian students who are in Malaysia. This is done to ensure the ability of the students. The first competition among students of Sekolah Indonesia Luar Negeri or Indonesian Overseas School in Kuala Lumpur will be held in November. Education Attaché Ari Purbayanto to RRI said that so far he has paid attention to only excellent students who have finished their study. But in November, there will be first competition in the field of science and art for Indonesian students who attend Sekolah Indonesia Luar Negeri throughout Malaysia. All students will participate to compete, including those who study at the Community Learning Center CLC. A total of 207 and 136 CLC Learning Center Kumana will also be included in this activity.
Kita belum pernah melakukan kompetisi antar siswa.
We never had a competition among students in Asia, especially Sekolah Indonesia Luar Negeri in Kuala Lumpur. God's willing, next November we will hold a science and art competition. Our idea is they may also indicate their strength and they are brave to compete as long as they feel great, but never compete. So I'll make competition for students of Indonesia School of Kuala Lumpur, Sekolah Indonesia Kota Kinabalu, Johor Bahru Indonesia School, and students of CLC. So I say not to take easy the CLE students who learn only one teacher with 100 students so they can win. The first competition will also be a performance evaluation for Indonesian students in Malaysia. The field to be competed for elementary students consists of four categories, namely Science Olympiad, Math Olympiad, Speech of Indonesian Language, and Solo Singing. As for the junior high school, there are five categories, namely Science Olympiad, Math Olympiad, Storytelling in English, Solo Singing, and Presentation of Experimental Results. As for the senior high school level, there are six categories, Physics, Economic, Biology, Math, Geography, and Scientific Writing. The Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture is promoting a movie by Joko Anwar entitled A Copy of My Mind to compete at the 72nd Venice Film Festival 2015 from September the 2nd through the 12th. Director General of Culture Kacang Marijan said in a press conference in Jakarta on Friday, this promotion is aimed to support the film industry in Indonesia and to support the movie competing with other world movies at the international level.
Ini bagian dari penghargaan pemerintah.
This is part of government's appreciation because it is part of government efforts to facilitate them so as making our films become well-known internationally. This festival encourages us all to work together to rise because the film industry is not granted to the cinema activists, but the government must also be present. Kacung further appreciated and congratulated Indonesian filmmakers who have brought Indonesia's name in the top three most prestigious film events in the world. It is expected Indonesia's participation can be a strategic tool for cultural diplomacy. On the same occasion, the director, a copy of My Mind film, Joko Anwar, said this romantic drama genre film will be screened in Indonesia in February 2016. Not only the Venice Film Festival, a copy of My Mind film also penetrates the Toronto Film Festival 2015. Bank Indonesia BI issued a number of policy to maintain exchange rate stability through monetary operation optimization in money market and foreign exchange. Executive Director of Department of Economic and Monetary Policy, Bank of Indonesia Yuda Agung, said that monetary operation are conducted through three strategies, namely strengthening the management of rupiah liquidity in foreign exchange market, strengthening the management of foreign exchange supply and demand, and strengthening the adequacy of foreign exchange reserves. Senior Deputy Governor of Bank Indonesia Aditya Swara Mirza said that related to the restriction on dollar purchases without underlying, BI side sees there is excess liquidity in the short term. In the current economic condition, it is feared that the excess liquidity is not used for the real economy but for speculative activities. Mirza said in Jakarta recently that Bank Indonesia, in a meeting with Board of Governors, has a change in monetary strategies. BI did not change the interest rate but changed the strategy of monetary operation to shift the excess liquidity in Indonesian financial system. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Directorate General of Immigration at the Law and Human Rights Ministry is set to crack down on accommodation business owners who withhold information regarding foreigners staying at their establishments. The Ministry's Director General of Immigration, Ronnie F. Sompi, told a press conference on Friday, as quoted by Kompas.com, that Immigration Office has already established rapport and cooperation with accommodation business owners through local immigration offices, but the support in terms of information surrendered has not yet been satisfactory. He added that he expected owners to cooperate with local immigration officers to avoid the potential state losses. On Thursday, the immigration office arrested 48 foreigners, comprising 13 women and 35 men from Taiwan and China, at a villa in Jimbaran, Bali, for allegedly being involved in cybercrime. The Legislative Council of Makassar, South Sulawesi, approved on Friday the 2015 to 2035 city by law on special planning despite protests from a number of non-governmental organizations, NGOs. The NGOs objected to the bylaw, which allows the city administration to reclaim the coastal area around Losari Beach, Makassar, saying that it would further damage the environment and harm local people. The executive director of the Indonesian Forum for the Environment, or WALHI, South Sulawesi branch, Asmar Ekswar, said that the reclamation would damage the ecosystem of the coastal area, including mangroves and coral, important for the growth of sea biota. Meanwhile, the chairman of the council's special committee for the deliberation of the bylaw, Abdul Wahab Tahir, said that all processes to have the bylaw approved had been undertaken. Makassar Mayor Muhammad Ramadan Pomanto said that the planned reclamation was prepared following a thorough study of the condition of the area conducted with the involvement of academics. Last item. The Criminal Investigation Agency of the Police Bareskrim have raided recently two locations of cattle hoarding. The police also are investigating companies which are suspected as meat cartel. Chairman of the Business Competition Supervisory Commission, Syarkawi Rao, said recently that after the investigator team specify which companies are proven as meat cartel, administration sanctions will be issued. The Business Competition Supervisory Commission will also issue a recommendation to the authorities to revoke the business license of the companies. Earlier, the Directorate of Special Economic Crime Criminal Investigation Police found 21,000 cattle from two locations in Tangerang. 4,000 cattle are not yet cut, whereas the cattle should be slaughtered to be distributed to the market. The 24 companies that indicated a meat cartel are in Greater Jakarta. The investigator team will decide the next step to deal with the companies in September. To end the news, here are the main points once again. The Indonesian Embassy in Malaysia to hold a competition of science and art for Indonesian students in Malaysia. Ministry of Education and Culture facilitates Indonesian film at Venice Film Festival. Bank Indonesia restricts dollar purchases to save rupiah. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from several newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Dalat Pane. We start with the press review of Kompas newspaper. The Daily in its editorial writes, "Tumult hamper growth." There is no doubt that in order to achieve the economic growth target for 2016 at 5.5%, the government needs to work hard and effectively. In an introductory speech State Budget Draft 2016 in the Parliament on Friday last week, President Joko Widodo explained that such growth will be financed from tax revenue amounted to 1,565.8 trillion rupiah, non-tax revenues of 280.3 trillion rupiah, and grants 2 trillion. Other assumptions: inflation amounted to 4.7%, the rupiah 13,400 rupiah per US dollar, and the Indonesian crude price of $60. The target was set even though the economy grew 4.71% in the first quarter of 2015 and only 4.67% in the second quarter. Targets are also set with the assumption that the global economic situation in 2016 is better than this year. That situation will help Indonesia's commodity exports, such as minerals and plantation, as well as oil and gas. Kompas writes, no one can predict how quickly the global economy recovers. United States' economic recovery is expected to further depress the Indonesian rupiah and less benefit because of weak export capabilities that rely on commodities. Related to that, the president had to reshuffle his cabinet in order to work better. Some observers see the reshuffle was not enough to support the realization of the government's promise of economic growth, let alone the amount of reduction in the welfare of the poor and equity are not comparable. Plus, compactness working together is far from reality, because the occurrence of noise at the level of the highest state officials. According to Kompas, the economy, not just potential, but also on the perception of government, can work well. The next press review is from Republika. This newspaper writes, "Fixed chicken distribution lines." After cattle traders, now chicken traders who go on strike on selling. In its history, it is not the first time chicken prices are soaring, but traders still patient to keep selling chicken in the market, although the amount of turnover decreased because many consumers run. Republika writes, when the chicken traders go on strike, it is natural that many people wonder why this should happen. It's not that chicken prices up and down is something that usually happens. According to Republika, the strike was actually done because the disappointment is so deep in traders in recent weeks. Chicken prices continue to soar since the month of Ramadan has made traders' turnover decline due to customers leaving chicken consumption and switch to another product. Chairman of the Chicken Traders Association of Bogor Raya, Sony, said that since the price of chicken meat is more expensive and difficult to control, many consumers do not buy chicken. Currently, the price of chicken has reached 38,000 rupiahs to 40,000 rupiahs per kilogram. It does not make sense. Whereas before the increase, the price of chicken only 25,000 rupiahs per kilogram. According to the chairman of the Poultry Association of Indonesia, Anton J. Supit, expensive chicken prices allegedly not due to the price of chicken in breeder is packed high. According to him, the price of chicken prices are at high-level trader because the length of the chain from the farmer to the chicken to the market. Therefore, according to Republica, the government must ensure smooth supply of chicken and the price is also affordable. Reorganize the distribution channels should be the first concern of the government to unravel the case. We end press review from Media Indonesia newspaper. This newspaper writes, working with one data, the fluctuations in food prices that took place in recent weeks has not been well controlled. After the anomalous rise in the price of beef that ranged from 130,000 to 140,000 per kilogram, chicken prices recently soared. Consumers who are looking for a replacement for beef, which is expensive and scarce, then turn to chicken as a substitute. As a result, the demand for chicken has increased, while supply has not increased. Media Indonesia writes, this fact is certainly not encouraging. Even more encouraging is that the government does not yet appear to have effectual steps and concrete solutions to overcome market phenomenon, aggravating the people. However, out of the growing conditions in the field, Media Indonesia appreciates the statement of the Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Darmin Nasution, who started assessing the developing situation around the issue of food prices. During this time, according to the Daily, the public was not surprised when the ministry or institution related to food, such as the Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Trade, and Bulog, released data on demand and supply of a number of food commodities, such as rice, sugar, meat, and other commodities, differently. As a result, relevant ministers and institutions also work based on different data. It is often we witness the disagreement among government agencies. According to Media Indonesia, with the data is accurate and fit the facts on the ground that the government should work, Coordinating Minister for Economy tasks is to coordinate and implement it all in a compact policy. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Meet again with me, Rahma, in our regular program, Today in History, from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. This is a program that compiles various historical important events in the past. We start from an event on August 22, 1910, when Japan-Korea Treaty of 1910, also known as Japan-Korea Annexation Treaty, was made by representatives of the Empire of Japan and the Korean Empire on August 22, 1910. In this treaty, Japan formally annexed Korea following the Japan and Korea Treaty of 1905, by which Korea became the protectorate of Japan, and Japan and Korea Treaty of 1907, by which Korea was deprived of the administration of internal affairs. Japanese commentators predicted that Koreans would easily assimilate into the Japanese Empire. In 1965, the Treaty of Basic Relations between South Korea and Japan confirmed this treaty as already null and void. The next event was on August 22, 1945, when BKR, or People's Security Agency, was formed. BKR was a body set up to perform maintenance tasks together with the security of the people and the extension services of the country of Indonesia. The agency was formed by PPKI, or the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence, in its meeting on August 22, 1945. The establishment of the agency was a change of trial results PPKI on August 19, 1945, that was previously planned formation of the National Army. The change was decided on August 22, 1945, not to establish a national army. This decision was based on the various political considerations. Decision of the leaders when it is to resort to diplomacy to gain recognition of the freedom his newly proclaimed. One political consideration was the Japanese occupation troops, which were still armed with mantle falling since lost the war.
The agency's members were Indonesian young people who had military education by Japan and the Netherlands as Heiho soldier. People Security Agency then became the Indonesian military. And the last event was on August 22, 1972, when Southern Rhodesia was expelled by the International Olympic Committee. Southern Rhodesia first participated as Rhodesia in the Olympic Games in 1928. Rhodesia was then absent until 1960, when the Federation of Rhodesia and Nyasaland competed under the name of Rhodesia in Rome. Southern Rhodesia then competed alone under the banner of Rhodesia once again and for the last time in 1964. The country thus always competed as a British territory. It was unable to take part in the 1968 Games in Mexico due to the Mexican government's interpretation of regulations on passports. It never successfully competed following Ian Smith's declaration of an independent Rhodesian Republic in 1970. Although it returned to the Games in 1972, Rhodesia was expelled by the International Olympic Committee 4 days before the opening ceremony under pressure from other African countries, which did not recognize the legitimacy of the Rhodesian state and which were threatening a boycott. The invitation, which had been extended to Rhodesia, was withdrawn by the IOC by 36 votes to 31 with 3 abstentions. The country's successor state, Zimbabwe, made its Olympic debut in 1980. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on Social Security Agency employment moving towards world class. I'm Dalat Pane. Social Security reform in Indonesia continues. One of them is to formalize operations of Social Security Agency BPJS employment that has been active since July the 1st. Although it has been just established, 120 million members consisting of formal and informal workers have been the participants of Social Security Agency BPJS employment. Therefore, the social security system for workers in Indonesia can be categorized as one of the largest in the world, as stated by the Manpower Minister Hanif Dakiri in his speech at an international seminar on social security reform on Wednesday, August 19 in Nusa Dua, Bali. To become a world-class social security agency, BPJS employment becomes a member of the International Social Security Association, ISSA. Director of Social Security Agency, BPJS employment, Evelyn G. Masasia, said the participation of BPJS employment in the ISSA is to equate it with the standards of other countries so that this institution can be world-class. Masasia added, it is also exploring cooperation in ASA or ASEAN Social Security Association. In this cooperation, workers from ASEAN countries in Indonesia will be protected by BPJS employment. It relates to the rules applied by the Indonesian government that foreign workers who have been working 6 months in Indonesia must become the participants of BPJS employment. According to him, the cooperation that occurs will be intergovernmental or government-to-government. Cooperation with the social security institutions of other countries is expected to help Indonesian workers abroad. Manpower Minister Hanif Dakiri said, Indonesian citizens who work abroad must also obtain social security in the country where he works. Besides opened by the Manpower Minister Hanif Dakiri, the international seminar on social security reform also presented speakers from experts and observers of social security, such as the president of the International Social Security Association, ASSI, Errol Frank Stouff, chairman of the Social Security Council, Ghazali Husni Situmorang, as well as the director of BPJS Employment, Evelyn G. Masasia. The other speakers were from international institutions such as Peter Whitefoot of the School of Public Policy of the Australian National University, Matthias Meissner of the University of Applied Sciences Munich and Junichi Sakamoto of Nomura Research Institute Japan, as well as George Kutner from UNSW Australia, Kyung Shik Kim, head of the International Center, NPS Korea, and several other speakers. Well, listener, that was Focus.
This is Larry Wood Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with some headlines of national newspapers published in Jakarta today, Saturday, August the 22nd, 2015. Let's begin with the Kompas newspaper, which in its headline writes, "Land Price Moving Wildly." The decline of the middle and upper segments of the property market is not only due to the weakening of national economic growth. It is also triggered by a decrease in the purchase of land prices, which move widely, as well as a surge in prices of building materials and a tax object selling value. Chairman of the East Java Regional Council of the Housing and Settlement Developers Association of Indonesia, Supratno, on Friday said housing prices soared in East Java capital Surabaya, three times the tax object selling value. Right now, there is no house with price below 500 million rupiahs per unit. It is increasingly difficult for people to get appropriate housing at a realistic price. Therefore, he said, to address the problem, the government presence is needed. Next is Republika newspaper, which in its headline writes, "Hajj pilgrims welcomed by hot weather." Indonesian pilgrims begin arriving at the city of Medina, Saudi Arabia on Friday, August the 21st, they were welcomed by the hot weather that plagued Saudi Arabia lately. The first pilgrims group is from Makassar, South Sulawesi. Garuda Indonesia Airways plane carrying pilgrims from the country landed at Amir Muhammad bin Abdul Aziz Airport in Medina at 12:30 local time. After going through immigration and baggage claim process, the pilgrims left the airport. Consular General of the Republic of Indonesia in Jeddah, Damakiti Sailendra Putra, who welcomed the pilgrims at the airport, said all pilgrims are in good health and fit. Last is the Business Indonesia newspaper, which states in its headline, "The government sure have enough ammunition." The government believes it still has enough ammunition and strategy to anticipate so that the rupiah will not continue to deteriorate. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said the general public and investors do not have to worry about depreciation that hit the market lately. The weakening of rupiah, he said, is not related to economic fundamentals. Reference rate of Jakarta Interbank Spot Dollar Rate of Bank Indonesia has recorded that the exchange rate has eroded by 16.69% during the current year into 13,895 rupiahs per US dollar this week. Bambang admitted indicative exchange rate war is increasingly strengthened since China devalued its yuan some time ago, causing all countries tend to weaken their currencies. So the condition now, he said, all fled to the United States dollar. Related to that, the government is still trying to maintain the security secondary market count more actively, so that the capital outflow is not too big, the trick, among others, by keeping the auction of government securities more attractive. Well, that was the Indonesian newspaper headlines of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Education Attaché of Indonesian Embassy in Malaysia will hold a competency test for Indonesian students who are in Malaysia. The Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture is promoting a movie by Joko Anwar entitled A Copy of My Mind to compete at the 72nd Venice Film Festival 2015. Bank Indonesia BI issued a number of policies to maintain rupiah exchange rate stability through monetary operations optimization in money market and foreign exchange. The Directorate General of Immigration at the Law and Human Rights Ministry is set to crack down on accommodation business owners who withhold information regarding foreigners staying at their establishments. The Legislative Council of Makassar, South Sulawesi approved on Friday the 2015 until 2035 city bylaw on special planning despite protests from a number of non-governmental organizations. The Criminal Investigation Agency of the police have raided recently two locations of cattle hoarding. The police also investigate companies which are suspected as meat cartel. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green. Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. And in today's edition, we will invite you to travel to Bali, to Bali Island, to visit Pura Taman Ayun or Taman Ayun Temple. So stay tuned. Listener, Bali is known as the island of a thousand temples. In accordance with the title, you can certainly find many beautiful temples on the island. One of them is Taman Ayun in Mengwi Village, Badung Regency. This temple can be reached about 30 minutes from Denpasar, the provincial capital of Bali. Taman Ayun Temple is very beautiful, fitting to its name, which means a beautiful garden. In addition to its beauty, Taman Ayun Temple is also considered to have historical value, so that in 2002, the government proposed to UNESCO that the Balinese Temple is included in the World Heritage List. Pura Taman Ayun or Taman Ayun Temple is the center or paibon for Mengwi Kingdom. This temple was built by Mengwi King I Gusti Agung Putu in 1556 Saka or 1634. This temple is bordered by a wide river that irrigates the rice fields around the side. It was dedicated This temple was dedicated to the ancestral kingdom of Mengwi and other important gods. Taman Ayun Temple complex occupies an area of 100 times 250 square meters and consists of the outer and the inner courts, which are on the higher location. Pura Taman Ayun's outer court is called Jaba. Listener, to enter the inner part of the outer court, there is a bridge across the pond leading to a gate. The gate is the entrance to the inner court, first surrounded by a stone fence. Once inside, on the right, there is a large building, or wantilan, where cockfights are held frequently when there is a ceremony. There is also a fountain with 9 water fountains. Entering the second court, or middle jaba, there is a bali with the carvings of amazing gods Nawasanga. Nawasanga is the god of gods who gives the 9 cardinal directions. This kulkul bali stands like a skyscraper. Kulkul is a traditional media that people use to communicate. Kulkul is used to call the villagers together. Kulkul's sound is vary according to what activities will be done by the community. The last court is Jaba Jiro. It is the most sacred part of Taman Ayun Temple. This place has 3 gates. The gate in the center is only opened when performed religious ceremonies. This door serves as the exit, an entrance to the sacred statues and other sacred instruments for ceremonial activities. Two other doors, on the right and left side, is for everyday use. On this page, there are some meru, or places of worship, in various shapes and sizes. In Taman Ayun Temple, you can enjoy the area around the temple while taking pictures. There are many beautiful spots for photography. For those who love to shop, at the opposite of the temple, there are several vendors selling food or souvenirs that you can buy as souvenirs. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pura Taman Ayun or Taman Ayun Temple. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today's edition will be discussing Alor Maritime Festival 2015. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Alor District in the province of East Nusa Tenggara is an islands region in the Indonesian archipelago. This district is crossed by international trade voyage to the Pacific Ocean, also bordered by Timor Leste, and its geographic condition has spawned a variety of local culture that is familiar with marine life. The cultural wealth is packaged in Alor Maritime Festival, which will be held from September the 16th to 18th, 2015. Alor region Amon Jobo said the Maritime Festival, which is the first ever held, will be filled with a number of activities including Pouhari and Gala Soro ceremonies, a parade of 100 traditional warships, and an under-the-sea photo contest, which will be followed by 25 divers from home and abroad. Pouhari ceremony is an offering to the spirits of the sea as a symbol of an expression of gratitude of the people in small Alor village for the large fish catch on the beach due to the cold ocean currents. While Gala Soro is a war victory ceremony conducted by Alor tribes at sea. There is also a gala dinner in Whitestone Beach, Alor, which allow visitors to taste typical Alor local culinary. According to Region Amon, in addition to its original culture, Alor also has a fantastic natural scenery as a destination for adventure tourism and the world-class underwater panorama. Amon said the beauty of the coral reefs in Alor Sea is well known among lovers of diving. Even, according to him, some foreign media claimed the underwater beauty is very similar to the Caribbean islands. Amon added that the event is intended as an attempt to revive the tradition that is almost lost. Adi Gerimo, the chief executive of Alor Maritime Festival 2015, said the boat parade will be followed by 1,000 participants from various tribes from 17 districts in Alor. He added the ships will split the Blue Alor Sea towards Sebanjar Beach, Desa Alor Besar, northwestern Alor district. Its vessel will contain more than 10 men of warriors dressed in traditional dress and arms, a king or commander, and will be escorted by 9 other boats. The boat parade participants will sing traditional songs, antiquated rhyme, and other attractions such as expertise in sword play with joy, of course. Meanwhile, still in the same month, an Indonesian Adventure Festival will also be held from September the 15th to 20th, and Gary Moadi, who is chairman of the organizers of the two events, said Adventure Indonesia Festival 2015 will involve about 200 participants who will explore the natural beauty of Alor with adventurous activities such as diving, cycling, trekking or hiking, and photography, which is including camping and culinary and culture tour. In the culture tour, participants can stay in traditional villages or houses and mingle with the local people. According to him, a number of countries have confirmed to come, such as Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, Australia, and the Netherlands. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which informed you about Alor Maritime Festival 2015. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Exim's Band. Exim's Band has been established since 2009. This band, which consists of 6 personnel, after 1 personnel left, always sings love songs in every album, including their second album entitled Nyanyian Tujuh Pulau or Songs of 7 Islands. VOI listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Percayalah or Believe It by Exim Band.
Percayalah,
VOA listeners, that was the first song entitled Percayalah by Exim's Band. Exim's Band intentionally plays in pop genre because they want to invite music lovers to love Indonesian product. But this band still adapts with trend and listeners' taste. Exim's Band consists of Eet vocalist, Ganda vocalist, Ruli guitarist, Jimmy guitarist, Hilmi keyboardist, and Rama drummer. According to Eet, although they play in pop genre, there is also Malay touching. Talking about the color of their music, Exim's Band tries to modernize some genres. Besides playing music, in fact, Exim's personnel have acting talent. When launching their second album, they were involved in a musical theater. VOA listeners, let's enjoy another songs by Exim's entitled Air Mata Hati or Tear of Heart.
Hati yang kau beri, hanya yang mengalami.
Et admitted that togetherness of Exims until now began from a festival which was held 3 years ago at the Department of Youth. Since then, they decided to make an album. Besides, Exims offers a different band concept with two vocalists. Exim personnel are from various regions, including Medan, Sumatra, Jakarta, Bandung, West Java, Aceh, Sukabumi, West Java, and Bima. They want to be different from other bands. Exim's band has two members with kinky hair. The music sounds more modern. Ed explained that it represents healthy youth expression in daily life. VOI listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the song entitled Romansa and Fall in Love. Enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.